Welcome to Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you. And we're going to continue our tour through the swag as we take a stop in Baton Rouge, the Red Stick, to talk about the Southern University Jaguars. Before we get started with that, socials, facebook.com/swagtalk, twitter.com/swagtalk76, instagram.com/swagtalk, and swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, check out Swag Talk on YouTube, Swag Talk Show. Our page is growing rapidly, almost at the magical number 300 subscribers. We're growing really rapidly. I'd like to thank everybody for the support. And if you haven't done so already, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to the channel and hit the notification bell on that so you can be alerted when I upload videos, because I do more content on YouTube now than I do on podcasts at this moment. So feel free to check that out. So let's not waste too much time, man. Let's go ahead and jump directly into this. Southern went 5-1 in the spring. Finished 4-1 on the field, 5-1 overall due to the Alcorn forfeit. This team did what they needed to do. They won their first game against Alabama State in a close fashion. They lost to Pine Bluff in the second game, rebounded with victories over Texas Southern, Jackson State, and Grambling. And played very well. They finished with 37 points per game scoring. They allowed 19.6. They ran the ball for 211 yards, giving them their second straight year of rushing for over 200 yards per game on a season. Only SWAC team to do that. They led the SWAC in rushing. They finished second in the SWAC in rushing defense, 124 yards per game. Passed for 219, 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, allowed 192 yards passing. They were one of the top defenses in the league, allowing 317 yards per game of offense, 430 for the offense total yardage per game, 25 touchdowns offensively, 13 defensive. So this was a very good team. And like I said, they had one game that they tripped up in against Pine Bluff where they just didn't play their best football. Pine Bluff was able to beat them, but Southern had a 50% third down conversion rate, which is always going to benefit you. The longer you can stay on the field, the more chances you have to score. They allowed a 32% completion rate on third downs. Again, that's getting off the field. They did allow 62% on fourth downs, but you know, that's something that tends to happen when you have a lead on teams. Southern fumbled the ball 6 times and lost 4. The bulk of those fumbles actually happened at the beginning of the season. They had a really tough time holding on to the football at the beginning of the season. 10 turnovers total, with the 6 interceptions added to the 4 fumbles. Defensively, they had 6 takeaways, which gives them a -4 turnover ratio. And that, you know, to be able to go 4-1 with a negative turnover ratio is actually, you know, something that's not that common. So that's, if that was the main thing that I would say Southern had to clean up more than anything, is taking care of the football. Cannot turn the ball over multiple times in a game. No matter who did it, you can't do it. It's just not good for you. Southern had 19 sacks on the season. They only allowed 7. So got to the quarterback, did a good job of protecting their quarterback. Even with a quarterback that runs, they still did a good job of keeping the pressure down. 20 of 23 in the red zone, 11 of 13 for the opponents. Southern scored 18 touchdowns in the red zone, 9 for the opponents. Again, Southern did a good job when they got inside the 20 to cash in and get points. So almost every time they got down there, they scored. And that, you know, that's something that you really can benefit from. Individually, LaDarius Skelton, for the second year in a row, led the team in rushing as quarterback. He had 317 yards and 4 touchdowns. He averaged 6 yards per carry. Gerard Sims came on strong after a strong finish in 2019. He ran for 231 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5.4 yards per carry. Devon Ben, 177 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Craig Nelson, 67 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, and a touchdown. And you know, Southern's gonna run the ball. I mean, you know, anybody that has watched any bit of SWAC football the last couple of years knows that Southern's gonna run the football, and they're gonna do it often. They ran the ball 261 times on the season compared to 183 for the opponent. So they definitely are gonna run the ball. That's no doubt about that. Skelton, 37 to 65 passing, 56% completion rate, 529 yards, three touchdowns, three interceptions. John Lampley, 23, 39 of 60, six touchdowns, three interceptions, 525 yards, 65% completion percentage, giving the team a 61% completion percentage on the season. They were 17 of 126. 85 for 145, 85 for 145 for the opponents. So, as much as Southern ran the ball more than their opponents, they only threw the ball 19 times less than their opponents in game. So, it's Southern, you know, they run a lot of plays. They were able to run a lot of plays last year. A total amount of plays ran 344 to 328. So they were able to squeeze in those extra runs, and a lot of that comes later in games because Southern definitely wants to wear you down. One of the places where Southern was lacking last year was at receiver. Ethan Howard was the leading receiver at tight end. He had 14 catches for 240 yards, two touchdowns, 17.1 yards per catch. Marquise McClain, 12 catches, 167 yards, 13.9 yards per catch. Brandon Hinton, 10 catches, 126 yards, 12 yards per catch. Corey Williams, 7 catches, 121 yards, 17.2 yards per catch. Jarrod Sims, 10 catches, 113 yards, 11 yards per catch. All those guys had at least one touchdown, with Sims and Howard each having two apiece. So Southern, their passing offense is not really one that's predicated on one guy or two guys. They're going to be a team that's going to spread the ball around. They don't necessarily have a go-to receiver coming up, although they do get Jamal Washington back at receiver. He missed the whole season with an injury. So that's, you know, that's a key factor to look at. You know, they also got a couple transfers at the position. Travis O'Connor, who transferred from Prairie View. I expect him to kind of factor into this offense as well. And the more guys that they have that are able to benefit this offense is going to be a huge factor in allowing this offense to be not. I'm going to say this. A lot of people who haven't really watched Southern play, or they watched them play a couple games, they see Southern runs the ball a lot. And they do, but Southern's not necessarily what you would call a one-dimensional team. They are willing to throw the ball. They just don't throw it as much as other teams do. They're not like Army or Navy who run the ball, you know, and only throw the ball 7 or 8 times. They will throw the ball about 20 times a game. So they gonna do that. They want to run the football, and that's what they're gonna do first and foremost, but they are not necessarily gonna just They're not necessarily just gonna not try to throw the football. And coming off of the spring, they didn't have that. Like I said, they didn't have that consistent big play receiver that they could go to, like a Hunter Register that they lost after 2019, and a guy like Jamal Washington. So they didn't have that threat that they can trust. And they had a new offensive coordinator with no spring, so there was some issues with the passing game, but that is, you know, that's something that they are attempting to work on to at least be more efficient with their passing game. Obviously, everybody knows Jordan Lewis at this point led the team with 27 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 10 and a half sacks. He did force a fumble on the season. Chase Foster is a guy who plays safety position. He's not a big guy, but he can hit you. He was second on the team. Well, he was third on the team with 20 tackles. The second leading tackler was linebacker Caleb Carter. He finished his eligibility and decided not to return for the fall. So that puts a hole in the linebacker spot. Ray Anderson is the guy who's going to have to fill in that spot. along with I think it's Derek Williams, also is a guy that the coaches like. They're looking for depth more than anything at that position. They're moving Tomari Smith from corner to more of a rover type guy, to get more of their guys on the field. They got Jacoby Papillon back at safety, who's a guy who was a big play guy in the fall, didn't play in but two games in the spring due to injury. So that's a key guy to get back. Jalen Ivey on the defensive line. Davin Cotton. They also have a transfer from McNeese, Cameron Peterson, at defensive line. I think they're looking to play him more at tackle, maybe also at end. But he's a big body guy. I think 6'5", 280. So he's a guy that can help plug up that hole, because if there were two places that I would say Southern wasn't spectacular for the bulk of the season, especially early, it would be the defensive tackle spot and the linebacker spot. Those were two places where both they were able to really be super productive. Southern took some losses at linebacker heading into the season and at defensive line. So those are two holes that Southern are going to fill. Southern returns over 40 guys that have at least 4 years of experience. So this is an experienced team. And obviously, they took a loss at kicker and punter when Cesar Barajas transferred to Louisiana Tech. So that's a spot that's going to have to be filled. They have four guys that are battling it out for that role of punter and kicker. So replacing what Barajas did is definitely going to be crucial. He was 4-4 on field goals. He averaged 42 yards per punt, kickoffs over 51 yards per kick. So he was obviously was an all swag guy. He was a great addition, and he really wasn't going to come back in the spring. They were able to convince him to come back for the spring, so he ended up transferring after the spring. So that's a huge loss. Punt returns were definitely an issue for Southern. If there was one issue on special teams that Southern had, it was punt returns. They tried out a bunch of guys, but nobody really stood out. Fielding punts was their main issue at the beginning of the season, although they did get a little bit better at that as the season went on. They're looking to put Jamal Washington in that spot. Kickoff returns, they were pretty solid. Shaikee Thomas had a kickoff return for a touchdown, and Kendrick Jones also had a couple of nice returns. Brandon Hinton also a 34-yard return. So kickoff and punt return, kickoff returns should be solid. Punt returns are work in progress, but putting Washington back there is a guy who should do a better job of at least fielding the ball. Now we kind of move to, I don't want to call it the elephant in the room, but, you know, obviously Southern has a new coach. Coach Dawson Odom left after the spring to go to Norfolk State. Southern hired from within. They hired Jason Rollins, who was the special teams coordinator. They brought him up to the head coaching position in an interim fashion. So it's going to be interesting what he does. He kept the bulk of the staff. He added a few more coaches to finalize his staff. And they're gonna kind of stick with what they've been doing. They do return both coordinators, so that's a benefit for them. And right now, obviously, it's early, but all reviews are positive at this point. So it's gonna remain to be seen how, you know, the week by week, game by game thing happens. But right now, Southern is kind of business as usual. They're maintaining a lot of the culture that they had previously, with some changes. Due to this obviously being a different man running the program, but the framework is kind of similar, so they're not going to change a lot. And I expect Southern to keep playing well. So I think one of the things, if you've watched Southern football, follow them closely for a few years, you know non-conference football wasn't the best for Southern, especially non-HBCU matchups. They didn't always play as aggressively as a lot of people felt they should. Sometimes games were treated more like preseason instead of regular season type games. And they are saying that they are going to approach those games a little bit differently. Now, you know, whether they win or not, that remains to be seen. And, you know, a lot of that is always coach speak. So, you know, you have to kind of take a lot with a grain of salt. But looking at the schedule, Southern opens up on September 4th against Troy. My expectation for this game is for Southern to come out and just play solid football, take care of the football, and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not going to predict Southern to upset Troy by no means, but they do. How they approach this game is not necessarily going to dictate the rest of the season, but I would like to see Southern come out and play a clean football game and compete for 4 quarters and see where the chips fall. So I'm gonna pick Troy in this game, which sends them into their September 11 game against Miles, in the Pete Richardson Classic. This will be not an easy game. Miles is predicted to win the South Division of the SIAC, so they're definitely going to be a very tough opponent. Those kind of teams, they have a good bunch of guys who transfer from FCS and FBS, so they're gonna have talent. You know, this is not a walkover. This game will probably be closer than some people who aren't familiar with this program. It may be a little bit closer than what you think, but Southern's gonna have the depth advantage, so I think Southern will win this game. September 18th against McNeese. This is a huge game for Southern. They played McNeese in 2019. They lost by 6, although they did fall behind by a bigger margin, mainly due to turnovers. Southern had a 14-0 lead in this game early, and turnovers just ate them up. McNeese took advantage of plenty of short fields and was able to hold on to victory at the end. Southern needs to win this game. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's a lot of coaches on the staff familiar with McNeese. Coach Rollins played at McNeese. He coached there for a little while. His mentor, Frank Wilson, is the head coach at McNeese, so there's a lot of storylines there. So Southern needs to win this game, and I'm picking them to win this game because they need it. And I like I said, any kind of matchup right now that I see that's FCS matchup, the teams are fairly close. I'm going SWAC because they need these W's. And again, like I said before, it's not for me, it's not because I want them to impress outside people. I just think the league needs to win games. That's all, point blank and period. It don't matter about the outside respect from people who don't really have any input on the league. It's just you need to win games. When you step on the field, you need to win games. That's just point blank and period. There's nothing else to be said about that. I don't care about, everybody else, what they think about the SWAC, because half the people gonna not like it anyway. Whether you win or not, they're gonna move the goalpost. So it's all about winning games. You should win or try to win every game that you step on the field to play. So that's just the way I feel about this. So I'm going Southern in that game. September 26th, Sunday, 2 o'clock in Jackson, Mississippi Valley, and the Jags hook up Mississippi Valley. This game should be an interesting game. A lot of people are high on Valley. I'm not as high on Valley as they are. Valley doesn't really have enough pieces. I mean, they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be the kind of team that if you can't do anything on offense, if the defense can hold you down, then they may be able to stay in a game. But I think Southern obviously has the depth advantage. Southern has the better offense, and they have the better defense out of the two teams. Valley's defense is good, but they're going to wear down, and I think Southern will wear them down and win this game. It'd probably be close going into the third quarter, maybe even in the fourth quarter. Southern probably score a couple times late to put this game out of reach. They get a week off on October 2nd, and then they go to Arlington to take on Texas Southern in the Arlington football showdown. Texas Southern, other than the game in the spring, was a comfortable win by Southern, but that game was close for a long time in the first half. Southern just was able to wear Texas Southern down. The last two times previous, Southern won by a total of 28 points, I think it was. 21 points between the two games in 2018 and 2019. So, Texas Southern, even though they are not good, they play really well against Southern, and they really match up with them. I don't know if it's a situation of where they fall on the schedule, because typically they've gotten to play Southern after Southern's played a big game the week before. So it's kind of a letdown type of game, but Southern's managed to find a way to win Coming off of a bye week, I don't expect that. I think they'll give Texas Southern their best shot, and I think they'll win this game. But again, Texas Southern is going to compete. I like what Coach McKinney is doing there. They're building their team slowly, but they're getting there. But right now, they're just going to be the kind of team that can mess up your Saturday if you're not careful. I think Southern will find a way to win and head into a big game against Pine Bluff, which starts off a huge stretch of the season for Southern. Obviously, Pine Bluff, I feel, is not the fifth place team in the division as they were voted by the media in the SWAC Media Day. So I definitely disagree with where they were placed. Pine Bluff's going to be a dangerous team. You know, they've beaten Southern the last time these two teams played, so they don't have that Southern intimidation factor against them. I think it's homecoming at Pine Bluff. I think both teams are going to be ready. And Pine Bluff, you know, has an early game against Alcorn, maybe a week or so before this. So that's a game that, you know, how they handle that game will probably dictate how they handle this game. This is the first real SWAC matchup for Southern. This is their only true road game in conference play. The other three games away from Southern in conference play are on neutral sites. So this is the only trip to somebody's campus that Southern has, which is a huge benefit for them as a team. This is going to be a tough game, but I think Southern will rebound and get the W. It's going to be close. It's going to be emotional. I expect you to see a different Ladarius Skelton than you saw against Pine Bluff in the spring. I think he'll be more focused and take care of business in that game, which sends them into homecoming on October 23rd against Prairie View. Last time Southern played Prairie View for homecoming, they lost in 2015. Prairie View, we don't really know where they're at as a team right now. We know their defense is good. Offense is a work in progress. A lot of question marks. Can they run the football with the quarterback, whoever it is, Conley or Pass? Will they take charge of the team and lead them? Will they be winning when they come into this game? Will they be kind of bouncing back and forth? We don't know. I'm going to go with Southern in a very close game. The last time these two teams played in Mumford Stadium, Southern won in a close game, I think. So I expect another close game, another emotional type of game. Coach Dooley, you know, has roots at Southern. He coached at Southern. His teams are very emotion-based, and I think that that'll be a factor in this game. I think Southern will find a way to win it. October 30th, Alcorn comes to town. There's not much more needs to be said. If you don't follow SWAC football at all and you're new, you've heard about Alcorn beating Southern so many times. Obviously, Alcorn has won every game in this matchup since 2016, or since 2017, because Southern beat them in 2016. So that's Alcorn's on a 5-game winning streak. The last time Southern beat Alcorn besides 2015 was 2011. 2013, when they won SWAC championship, they lost to Alcorn. 2003, when Southern won the SWAC championship, they lost to Alcorn. So, you know, these are things that Alcorn has found a way the last couple of years, even in very successful seasons for Southern and bad seasons for them, they've beaten Southern. So Alcorn is always a thorn in Southern side. And, you know, for Southern to make this season be a success, this game is probably the most must-win game on their schedule. I've said it time and time again. I can't pick Southern to beat Alcorn until I see them beat Alcorn. That may not make sense to you, but to me, I would not pick Southern to beat Alcorn until I know for a fact that they will beat them, because they have to get past whatever block there is against Alcorn. But I'm gonna pick Alcorn in this game just because I'm in a show me mode with Southern and Alcorn. I need to be shown that Southern beats Alcorn, and this is, you know, they can't lose to them and then know that they can play them again in the SWAC championship. So I'm gonna pick Alcorn. You know, I'm just gonna go with that. November 6th, Florida and them comes to town again. This is a team that's giving Southern fits at home. I think the last time Southern beat FAMU in Baton Rouge, I think it was 96, if I'm thinking correct. Yes, it was. It was 1996. Although they've only played at home since then in 1998 and 2008. So obviously that's a lot. 1998, 2000, and 2008. That's a long time in between games in Baton Rouge. So there's times that they probably could have beat them in Baton Rouge. So that is a little misleading. But I'm gonna go with Southern in this game. These two teams played a really good game. The last time they played in 2019, FAMU was up 19-0. Southern came back and took the lead. FAMU scored on a 99-yard drive to score the winning points. So I think these two teams match up well. They don't have Ryan Stanley to torch Southern's offense, so we don't know what their quarterback situation would be. I think Southern will be able to play better against them defensively and find a way to get the W. November 13th, Jackson State and Coach Sanders comes to town. You know, I as a Southern fan, I always want them to beat Jackson State. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Southern's beaten Jackson State 8 straight times. Deion Sanders and Jackson State appear on paper to be a very good team. And by this point in the season, they could be really, really rolling. I really think this is going to be a very exciting game. Really, I think it's going to be a close game. I'm picking Jackson State strictly because for my predictions, I've been picking a lot of streaks to end, and I think this streak will end. But I think it's going to be a game that Southern has the opportunity to win. At this point, I may be one of the few people who don't think Jackson State is going to blow everybody out. So I think this game, Southern can win, but I'm going with Jackson State just for my predictions on my show. And then that closes out the season with the Bayou Classic against Grambling. Southern, I think, will win this game. I don't think it's going to be a 49-7 game. I think it's going to be close because I think Grambling is going to be better than they were in the spring, but I still think they're going to finish fifth place in the division. So they can be better with a bad record. I think Southern will win, although this is a game you can throw the records out. Bayou Classic, losing teams always find a way to win. So there's a possibility Grambling can win, you know, but I'm going with Southern, which gives them a record of 8-3 on the season. I think the worst case scenario would be 7-4. That October 16th to November 27th stretch of games is definitely tough. How they handle that stretch of games is going to dictate how the season goes. The Magnese game is not a guaranteed win, but you know that's a game that they could lose. I mean, honestly, I would say the worst case scenario on this team would be like 6-5, and that would be losing to Troy and Magnese, and then a combination of three losses out of that October 16th and November 27th stretch. So 6-5 to me is the lowest that I'm gonna go with Southern. I think the highest I'll go with Southern is 9-2, because Southern will always find a way to lose a game that they shouldn't, or at least this stretch of games. Is probable to lose a game. Although, I don't really see Southern going undefeated in conference. I don't think anybody will, even in my best case scenario. So I'm going 9-2 best case scenario. 7-4 is my worst, but the worst is 6-5. So I'll go between 9-2 and 6-5 with Southern finishing 8-3 on the season. So that's going to do it for our show today. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel. We have a Southern preview a little bit more just based on the schedule. So you can check that out. Wednesday, we'll be back with our Texas Southern preview. Thursday, another edition of Swag Smoke on YouTube. And then Sunday on YouTube and podcast, UAPB preview. And then week zero, MEAC Swag Challenge preview coming after that. So that's going to do it for me. I'm your host, Charles Wells. I'm signing out, man. Y'all enjoy y'all day. And we'll see you on the rebound.